please be seated. You're certainly all in fine voice today. We made it to Wednesday. I always love Wednesday at camp. It's the middle day. We get all shook up with everything we've been learning. Then we have two more days to settle down before we go home. It's just great. So if today's a day where you get shook up and get your brains rattled a little bit, hallelujah. We want to get pushed. We want to grow. We want to learn. And this is the place to do it. Well, today we're going to go into the next manifestation, having already covered in some detail speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, and word of wisdom. Now we're going to talk about discerning of spirits. And this is a very interesting topic. We could probably spend a month on it, but we're going to try to, in one day, give you the main aspects of it from God's Word. If we leave something out, it's not because we decided it's not in the Bible anymore, or we hate you, or we're trying to be heretics. It's just, you can only cover so much in one day. And that's, again, why we have our power, why we can sit around during recreation and chat. If you want to come speak to any of us who are teaching about some topics we don't get into detail on, we're happy to talk to you. But what we'll try to do today is cover what we consider the major aspects of discerning the spirits in as simple and straightforward a way as we can. So let's start with 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. One of the things we are going to contrast here as we start out is the contrast between the goodness of God and the badness of the devil. There's a lot of fun things starting back with cartoons and movies and fun little stories and jokes about how the devil really is more fun than God. And it'd be fun, more fun to end up in hell than in heaven because that's where all the cool people are. And there's all kinds of fun little stories about that, and they're cute and they make good humor at times, but in reality the devil is all bad and God is all good, and any perceived good that comes from the devil you pay for triple time with the evil that follows. And it's very important to see that. So we're going to spend a little time looking at that, and here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the what? Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, all our mental pressure, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God's job is to comfort us, encourage us, strengthen us. And with that comfort and encouragement, we can comfort and encourage others. That's as opposed to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go on here a little bit. 2 Corinthians 4. You see, I knew we'd get to 2 Corinthians. I was just a day early. I've been doing that all week. I've been confusing Doug and Dan, jumping ahead, trying to teach stuff a day early. But I finally caught up with myself. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we what? Faint not. We don't give up. We don't faint. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. See, I could handle the word of God in such a way to try to get you to do things that were wrong or ungodly or helped me and hurt you. That would be handling the Word of God deceitfully. And we try very hard to avoid that. So verse 2, have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now look at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to blind people so they just can't see the truth of God's word. And a lot of that blinding comes in the form of devil spirits, where people are just so out of control in their minds that they have, in essence, opened a trap door and allowed a devil spirit to come in and control part of their minds, so they can't see the truth of God's word even when it's right in front of them. So that's what the devil wants to do. God wants to comfort us and shine the light of his word on our lives. The devil wants to blind people so they can't see the truth of God's word. Very, very different. Another thing you'll find is that the true God will never possess you. You've probably noticed it already this week that you received the gift of Holy Spirit when you were born again, and it's then up to you to operate the manifestations. How many of you ever got possessed into speaking in tongues? I think Fred here used to be part of one of those denominations where they run around and in some kind of service tap you on the head and you fall over. Well, when you operate the power of God and minister to people, they don't fall over. It's generally a devil spirit. So isn't that a sad thing? You go to a Christian service for help and somebody hits you on the head, you get possessed, and Fred's got to catch you when you fall over. God doesn't possess. God doesn't control. A couple years ago at a youth advance, we played that movie, Bruce Almighty. Now, other than the title, which is sort of cool, just a title. Take it easy, Mr. Fletcher over there. Okay, Vance. Other than that, the thing they get right in that movie is the freedom of will aspect. You know, it's a goofy, silly comedy, you know, thing. A lot of things obviously very wrong on it. But the freedom of will part they get right. That you can't make somebody love God. You can't make somebody believe God. It's up to them. That's one interesting thing I liked about the movie. The title. Yeah, the title's cool. Yeah. God won't possess you. God gives you his Holy Spirit when you get born again. Then it's up to your freedom of will to either operate it or not. Devil spirits are different. They come in and control you. Devil spirits generally will not control an entire person, but they may control some part of your mind. And the way they get in is you relinquish control over that part of your mind. You quit controlling your own mind, and that opens a trap door where a devil spirit can come in. And we'll learn more about that all day long. So as the day progresses, you'll learn more and more about this. So if there's some things this morning that don't quite fit for you, hang in there. We'll get there. Throughout the day, we'll learn more and more. By the time you hit the popcorn machine at the snack shop, you should have all of this fitting for you. But the God of this world, in verse 4, blinds the minds of them which believe not. Look at John 10:10. Another great parable where Jesus Christ, the good shepherd represents Jesus Christ, and the thief represents the devil. Look what it says in John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to what? Destroy. That's why the devil's here. Steal, kill, and destroy. He has no other motive. He has no other interest. The only time he ever does anything good for somebody is when they've sold out and completely worship him and serve him. So he's got what he wants. Now he may reward that person and give that person some prosperity, but only because they are worshiping him as the true God. Because that's what the devil wants. He started out as an archangel, Lucifer. He rebelled, got kicked out of heaven, took a third of the angels with him who became devil spirits, and now he wants to be worshipped like the true God. Remember in the temptations where the devil's tempting Jesus Christ after he fasts for 40 days in the wilderness? What's one of the things he says? I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you'll bow down and worship me. If you, the Son of God, will switch your allegiance from the true God to me, the devil, I'm the godless world as the devil, I'll give you everything. And Jesus Christ said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil left him. See, that's what he wants. So the only people he's really going to do any good for are either people he's trying to trick into following him or people that already do follow him. He's here to steal, kill, and destroy. But what's Jesus Christ say in John 10:10? The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I, Jesus Christ, am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. So there's your contrast. You can have a life which is more than abundant, where God takes care of all your needs, or you can be stolen from, killed, and destroyed. It's really a choice between life and death we have. That's the contrast we're talking about here. Now, look at how the Lord treats us, though, in Proverbs 10, verse 22. Proverbs 10, verse 22. Here in Proverbs 10, 22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth what? No sorrow with it. See, there's no downside to believing God. God does not add any sorrow with it. Whereas the devil will. The devil may come along and do something for people to hook them and grab them and suck them in. But then he'll turn around and beat the something out of them after that. Where's not God? You don't get sucked in and tricked into speaking in tongues and reading Ephesians, then all of a sudden everything goes bad once God has you hooked. No. The more we believe God, now sure there's a devil and sure there's a little persecution as Christians, but God will continue to bless you and God will continue to take care of you. There's no downside to believing God. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, I mentioned that the way devil spirits come in is when we relinquish control in some part of our minds, we open a trap door and allow the devil spirit in. Well, how do we avoid opening that trap door? Romans 13:14. There's much about this in the Word. You know, there's so much about how light dispels darkness. Put on the light of God's Word and the darkness leaves. It all comes down to having the Word of God in your mind. That's why we keep drumming over and over again the importance of reading the Word, believing the Word, meditating on the Word, focusing on the Word. Doug opened up one of the early sessions about, you know, just looking to the Lord, acknowledging the Lord, keeping our eyes on God. That's what we need to do. Romans 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? We already spiritually have God in Christ in us. So the only place we can put him on is in the mind. Because spiritually, we're born again. We already have Holy Spirit. You can't get any more. But in the mind, you can put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can think the thoughts about what God's Word says about Jesus Christ. About through him we're righteous, we're redeemed, we're justified. Through him we have the ministry of reconciliation. Through him we have direct access to God. Through him we have peace with God. Through him we have eternal life. He's our hope. He's coming back for us. We put all these things on in our mind, and then look what else it says, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Or, which is actually a pretty good translation, it literally says in the Greek, make not provision to the flesh with a view towards lusts. You have to make provision for the flesh with regard to food and shelter, which is why when you come to camp, you get a cabin with a bed in it and access to restrooms and 3 meals a day. And if that's not enough, the snack shop twice a day and the coffee breaks. Those are making provision for the flesh. You need that. But we don't make provision for the flesh with a view to lusts. Now, lusts are extreme, unbridled desires. There are natural desires that humans have. Humans have a desire to eat so you don't starve. Humans have a desire for some kind of shelter so you don't freeze or bake. Humans have a desire for companionship and friendship and love. Humans have a desire for sex, to procreate, so the human race continues. These are all perfectly good, godly desires. But it's when the desires go off the wrong track or get out of hand that things can open up, you can open up your mind to a dealt spirit. It happens in so many areas. Anger. Anger is a natural human emotion God gave us. Sometimes the only way to get something done or get somebody's attention is to get angry. But it's to be controlled. What's it say in Ephesians? Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. See, if something ungodly happens in my life or in somebody around me, getting angry is often a very positive thing. It's a way to get my attention. It's a way to get their attention. It's a way to blow off some steam so I don't blow a gasket. There are probably other things about it I don't fully understand. But I do know that it can get out of hand. And that's when you can open your mind up to a devil spirit. And at that point, the devil spirit comes in, controls that part of your mind. Now it's really hard to deal with it. Because before it was just an emotion you were trying to control. Now there's a devil spirit there. And many times people will not control that anger unless they get rid of the devil spirit, which we'll learn more about as the day goes on. And the two basic ways to get rid of a devil spirit are either so fill your mind with God's word that the light of God's word pushes it out, or somebody comes and operates manifestations, workings of miracles, and casts it out that way, which again we'll learn more about. But the way you avoid even getting in that situation is you put the word of God on in your mind, you control the anger, and then the trap door doesn't open. Same thing can happen anything. It can happen with alcohol. Alcohol used in moderation can be a positive thing. It says in the word, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. Jesus Christ's first miracle, turning water into wine. But again, if used in excess, it can get to where there's not only a physical and an emotional dependence on it, but it can go to where you open a trap door and there's a devil spirit there. And again, it's hard enough dealing with the physical and the mental addiction, but now you throw a devil spirit in the mix, now it's even tougher. But the way you avoid getting to that place is going through steps to control your mind. Putting the word on is the ultimate answer, but for a lot of people, just reading Ephesians doesn't do it for them. So there are addiction programs, there are groups that are very good at showing you how to control your mind and how to avoid the addiction and get over it. That's great. I'm all in favor of that if that's what is going to help people. Sexually, again, normal sex between a man and a woman is godly. But that can get out of hand. That can lead to devil spirits. Sex between people of the same gender is not godly. There are people who, for various reasons, have desires in those areas. Could be because of their environment. I don't frankly know where those desires always come from. But people, if they have those desires, they can be controlled by the renewed mind, just like anything else. Having the desires does not mean you're possessed. It's what you do about the desires. Do you control them by putting the word on in your mind, just like an alcoholic can control his or her mind so the alcoholism doesn't rule their life? Or do you give in to it? If you give in to that desire, now you're opening the trap door for the potential of a devil spirit coming in. And it's true in every area of life. A lot of desires are godly if they're controlled. But when they're not controlled, that's when it becomes ungodly, it becomes destructive, and you open the door to a devil spirit. Some desires are ungodly to begin with. You know, for me to go beat the crap out of my neighbor, that's not a godly thing. But I can control that. But if I don't control that, I open my mind up to a devil spirit of murder. Because a natural man will not want to murder or commit suicide. Might want to go have a fight with the neighbor, blow off some steam, and then everybody's fine, shake hands, and go drink some beer and watch the football game. That's not that good, but at least there's some control there. But if you let it get out of hand, you've opened your mind, and now all of a sudden you have a devil spirit of murder. Same thing with, you know, everybody has days where they feel bad and think they're lousy. But if you don't control that and come back and say, wait a minute, I may feel lousy, but God says I'm more than a conqueror. He loves me. He'll take care of me. Now I'm getting into such deep depression, I could open my mind to a devil spirit of suicide. And that's not good. But do you see how everything comes back to believing the word? Everything comes back to putting the light of God's word on in our minds. And that by doing that, we keep trapdoors shut and devil spirits can't come in. That's where it all starts. Now, if the devil spirit does get in, it's going to take either tremendously putting the word of God on your mind to chase it out, or somebody coming in with the spirit of God and performing manifestation of miracles to throw out the devil spirit. And that can happen too. So it's an area that takes much love and much patience with people, because we all have challenges mentally. None of us is perfect. It's just our challenges are in different areas. Areas that are easy for me to believe God may be very difficult for you. Areas that you have no problem believing God may be really hard for me. But each of us has our areas where we've got to really focus on the word. And the key is realizing that God's the one that loves us. The light of his word is what brings deliverance. And then we've all got to just love each other and encourage one another. But there's all kinds of things in the word about not thinking we're so high and mighty that we can look down on other believers. Because we're not. We're not perfect. We each have got to grow, and we've each got to help each other. And we each have areas where we need help. But God has the answers for all of us. So put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and just don't make provision for the flesh in those areas where it's going to unbridled desire. Don't give in those areas. Work with your mind to grow and believe God. 2 Corinthians 2:11. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Oh, and by the way, it's like we were talking yesterday about revelation. You don't know if you see somebody with a problem whether it's they're possessed or not unless God tells you. You know, you could see somebody doing something really weird. That could be a devil spirit. It could be not a devil spirit. It could be a chemical imbalance that makes them act funny. There's all kinds of reasons why people do and act the way they do, one of which is devil spirits. But you don't know it's a devil spirit unless you get revelation. What you can always do is pray for people, love people, and speak the word to them. But you don't go around casting out devil spirits unless God tells you there's a devil spirit there. And tells you you should cast the devil spirit out. We'll learn more about that later in the day. But it's only by revelation. Okay, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Actually, it's interesting. Oh, this is that section I was talking about. Let's read back here. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 5. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient unto such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. So that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Somebody's causing some trouble in the fellowship, causing grief. It could be in all sorts of ways. Because of a problem they have personally, because of the way they're treating other people, you ought to forgive the person. Because you don't want to be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. You don't want people to get so condemned that they're just crushed. Wherefore I beseech you, verse 8, that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. See, the devil will try to get an advantage of us. But look at the context here. The context is in believers forgiving and loving one another. See, if I got up here all holier than thou, talked about how perfect I was and how goofed up you were, and everybody on this side's possessed and everybody on this side's out of fellowship, and you in the middle are just flaky, you know. the devil is tricking me into getting you all condemned and upset so where you're just, your life's miserable. We don't come to family camp to make each other miserable. We come to family camp to love each other, pray for one another, believe for one another. We've all got problems. Hey, we're made out of dust. And Adam started us off on the road to having sin nature. So, I mean, on a good day, we believe God and live the word, and that's great. But we're still not perfect. It's just we're imperfect in different ways. Like what's that guy, the rodeo guy, Will Rogers? He said everybody's ignorant just on different subjects. None of us are perfect. But the Word of God, the light of God's Word, is the answer for every one of us. So we love one another, we pray for one another, we encourage one another. And to the end that we each desire to grow and learn and get out of the messes we're in. And to the end we encourage each other and love each other and pray for each other, we all get delivered. And that's what God wants. So we don't want to be ignorant of his devices and condemn one another. Ephesians 4. There's more here about this. Ephesians 4 and verse 21. If so be that you have heard him, Ephesians 4:21. This is amazing. I've stuck to my notes for now half an hour. I'm quite shocked. Ephesians 4, verse, what did I say? Thank you. Thank you. See? I asked for help. Okay, Ephesians 4:21. Thank you. If so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the former way of life, the old man. See, the old man is the way we were before we were born again, the man of just body and soul. All the desires, interests, faults, foibles, problems of the old man, the body and soul man, we just put those off. You can't really reform the old man. You can't really talk it into behaving. You just take it and you put it off. It's like an old coat. Sometimes I wear a jacket and go to a campfire and it's just smoky, smoky, smoky. The only thing I can do is take it off. Maybe eventually it'll quit smelling smoky, but for at least the time being, the only thing to do is just take it off. Put on a different jacket that wasn't at the campfire. Well, that's what we do with the old man. We just put that off. And now what about this old man? He's corrupt. And what makes him corrupt? The deceitful lusts. It actually reads in Greek, lusts of deceit, which is a very emphatic grammatical way of saying the lusts whose characteristics are being deceitful. Deceitful lusts. Because when you have some extreme unbridled desire in some area of life, it promises you something. You know, if I take all these drugs, boy, that'll be great. My life will be better. Or if I totally overdo it on alcohol, or totally overdo it with all kinds of weird kinds of kinky sex, boy, my life will be great. Or if I get all the money in the world, or just, I mean, pick anything that somebody might desire. It's deceitful. You want it, you want it, you want it, you get it, and then what's the big deal? It lied to you. It didn't really fulfill your life like it promised to. Well, the thing that makes the old man corrupt is deceitful lusts. So again, instead of letting those lusts and unbridled desires run away with us, we control them. And how do we control them? It tells you here, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit or the life of your mind. Put on the thoughts of God's word. You renew your mind. You renew your mind. If you're trying to clean something that's messy in the backyard or in the driveway, you may get the hose out and just put in the clean water there to wash everything away. Well, we put in the light of God's word. That's how we are renewed. Verse 23, and that you put on the new man. Put on the new man. Take that old man, put him off, put on the new man, the thoughts of God's word, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then it goes on to talk about all sorts of things about the new man. The renewed mind, putting away lying, be angry and sin not, Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. If you give him a place, if you open a trap door, if you relinquish control of your mind and decide to go lock, stock, and barrel after what the devil wants in your life, you're giving place to him. We don't do that. Let him that stole steal, no more let him labor. No, that's not actually what it says. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. We just don't say things that are going to be harmful to other believers. And then it goes on, talks, and then verse 32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And you can read the rest of the chapter in more detail. There's great stuff there. But what it all comes down to is taking the old man, that stuff from the world, the influences from the world that are contrary to God's word, and just put it off. It's like that old dirty coat. Take it off and throw it in the fire, throw it in the trash, get rid of it. It's gone. And put on the new man. All the truths in God's word about what we have in the new birth. Spiritually, we already have it born within. Now we have to put it on in our minds. Like Morgan when he was trying to... What were you trying to do anyway? Turn the radio on? Whatever he was trying to do there in the car, he had to find in the manual how to do it. And you were a big help, Emily. But that car, you got to get that car fixed. That was... We just put off that stuff and put on the new. James 3, verse 14. James 3 and verse 14. Actually, let's go back to verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, a good conduct, a good way of life, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. A lot of people have lots of bitter envying and much strife, no conflict in their hearts. Well, if you have it, glory not and don't lie against the truth. This wisdom, these way of thinking of having bitter envy and strife, descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. See, there are a lot of ways of thinking in the world that simply are not godly. They're earthly, sensual, and devilish. And you've got to do what it takes to keep your mind focused on the truth of God's word. Now, some people go to extremes. They go up to places in the mountains like this and hide from it. They can't really hide from the devil, because sooner or later you got to go down the hill and buy a loaf of bread or toothbrush. You're going to deal with these devilish people. So there are devilish things in the world, but what you do is you can decide not to put them on in your mind, not to let that earthly, sensual, and devilish thinking be what you think. Because sooner or later, you're going to be around people whose thinking is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And you just have to say, nope, I'm not going to think that way. I won't do it. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and what every evil work. But the wisdom that's from above, that's God's word, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we have to acknowledge there's two kinds of information in the world, godly and ungodly. You can't hide from the godly stuff, ungodly stuff, but you don't have to think it. You don't have to think it. You don't have to be scared of it. You just don't think it. What's it say in Psalm 1? Blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The counsel of the ungodly is all around, but you don't have to believe it. You don't have to live it. You don't have to walk that way. You put the word of God on in your mind. Look at James 4, verse 1. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your member? So even wars even wars. When people have a war, now sometimes this is speaking about wars and fights between people, sometimes it's speaking about wars between nations. But ultimately it comes to lusts, desires. One king wants more power, land, resources than another king. So he goes off and fights for it. Verse 2, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, you cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye what? Ask not. See, all you had to do was ask God. But instead, people go and fight and kill to get what they need. You ask not and receive not, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. You see, not all devil spirits are because of extreme desire. But a lot of them are. And whether somebody is actually possessed or just out of bound in some part of their lives, it often is because of desire that's out of control. And so much of the key in life is, first of all, looking at God's word to see what desires are godly and ungodly, and putting the word of God on and in your mind to not let the ungodly desires control your life, and even the godly desires, keeping them in check. You know, it's good to eat, but we all know there are limits of what's healthy and what isn't for us. It's okay to have a drink, but we all know what limits we can have to where it's just something sociable to relax you, and where you totally go out of bounds and lose control over your mind, and it's destructive. In so many areas of life, we know this. Nobody has to tell us. I don't have to run around, preach at you and say, cut that out, it's not right. You know. The question is, are you going to take control of your mind and keep things in check so you're blessed and a blessing to others? Or are you going to let them get out of hand so it's destructive for you and hurtful to others? And the way we control things is by putting the word of God on, letting the light of God's word throw the darkness out. If we don't, and we get too out of hand, then we open a door and a devil spirit comes in, and then it's all the more difficult. Because not only am I trying to renew my mind, but I got this devil spirit controlling part of my mind. And it's not there to help. It's not there so I have more fun on Saturday night. It's there to use me. Now, it may give me a physical thrill now and then, just so I think I'm fortunate to have this devil spirit, but in the end, it's going to use me, spit me up, chew me up, and spit me out when it's done. And we don't want that. So as the day goes by, we'll be learning a little bit more about this. But let me just read one more before we go to Devotion with Motion, and then Dan will come up after Devotion with Motion in the break and continue on this. Just read one here in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8 and verse 16. Let's actually go back to verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Matthew 8, 14. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were what? Possessed with devils. So we have to realize this. This is no joking matter. It isn't a cute, fun thing. They were possessed. They were controlled. They were taken over. They no longer had complete control over their own lives. And they were devils. They weren't cutesy little sprites and smurfs who were there to play and have mischief. And no, they were devils that possessed them. And what did he do? When even was come, they brought unto many of them that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits. They were spirits. Again, as I said, God had three archangels and a whole bunch of angels with him. And when Lucifer, one of the archangels, revolted, he got thrown out. Is now called Satan or the devil. And the thirdly angels that got cast out with him are now called devil spirits. And the devil has his own kingdom. And his only goal is to disrupt the work of the true God and get people to worship him instead of the true God. That's his only goal. and in the process he will trick, fool, cajole, and possess people. And when they brought those that were possessed to Jesus Christ, he cast out the devil, the spirits, with his word and healed all that were sick. And again, sometimes physical sickness is because of a physical or chemical thing. Sometimes it's because of a devil spirit. There are records in the gospel where some woman was bent over like this till Jesus Christ threw the devil spirit out, then she could stand up. But you don't know except by revelation. You see somebody bent over, it could be arthritis. Seriously. It could be bad joints. It could be a chemical imbalance. It could be a torn ligament. Or it could be a devil spirit. Or some other medical reasons, I don't know. But discerning the spirits is where God tells you about the presence or non-presence of spirits. He can tell you whether somebody has Holy Spirit, they're born again, whether they have unholy spirit, a devil spirit possessing them, or whether, as one person called it, they're just an empty floating by. No Holy Spirit or unholy spirit. Discerning of spirits will tell you. Because from a spiritual standpoint, you can be in the plus column, Holy Spirit. You can be in the minus column, devil spirits, or just a big zero. Body and soul, no spirit at all. And discerning of spirits will tell you that. So I think it's time to devote with Moat. Why don't you arise, take up your, well, I guess you don't have to take your Bibles. You're coming back. But let's head on out for devotion with motion, coffee break, and then back here. God bless you all.